The presenting sponsor of Moon Tower Soccer is FVF Law.
To find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, you can visit FVF.law.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Swoon Tower Soccer. I'm Steph Craniola.
And I'm Mike Craniola.
And we are all about the boys. And we're all about our boys today and our Galaxy boys. So we're going to be getting into a Swoon Tower opponent spotlight in just a little bit. And then we will cover all of the things that you know and love about Swoon Tower. We'll do our match Scott of the match interview. We'll do our fit checks. We'll do our Selly ratings, our social media standouts, and as always, the man of my jersey. But first, we're so excited because we've got Michelle Hutank on. She's a podcaster, an English teacher, a journalist covering the LA Galaxy, U.S. men's national team, U.S. women's national team, NWSL, and international soccer on her show, Simply Soccer Podcast. In addition to working with LazarHouse.com,
LA is our house.
Wow. Wow. That's, I was like, that's French. Is that French? Les Ures.
Those are the enemy that are French now. That's LAFC.
I know. I struggle with saying enemy there. Michelle, besides butchering LAisourhouse.com, thank you for being here. We're so excited to have you, and I'm so sorry.
No, it's very exciting to be here, and I can't wait to tell the guys at LA is Our House that they have a little French nod now that they can give. When we had the French connection a few years ago at LA Galaxy, I think that it would have been, dang, that was a missed marketing tactic. Right. But yeah, thank you so much. It's good to be here and to always meet and connect with new fans. I love my team. I'm a diehard fan. I believe in this team, whether we're sitting in first place or when we were dead last, not too long ago. So, amen. Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly our vibe here at Swoon Tower. No matter where we are on the table, Austin FC is the greatest team in the history of sports. And so we welcome everyone who has that same kind of vibe for their teams. That said, you know, we want to talk to you today specifically about the questions that we like to cover with all of our local guests. You know, we want to talk about national coverage in the way that it kind of reduces complexities to generalities. You know, I think the national take on the Galaxy right now is that your attacking band is just incredible, right? Joseph Paintsill and Gabriel Peck and Ricky Pooj and Dejan Jovalich, like leading that attacking band. Holy cow. But then kind of the back half of the team is maybe where there is cause for concern. You know, for Austin to be above someone in goals given up feels really good, but maybe not so much for the team that is in that place, right? And so how does that kind of national generalization match with the feeling and the actuality from your local perspective?
So, as you know, the Galaxy have been around since 96, and nationally, when you think of soccer in the United States, it's always been LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
You know, yes, LAFC is my enemy, and I'll take any dig I can at them. Nobody knows who that team is. They still confuse them with LA Galaxy. But that said, they have caused a lot of ruckus, right? LA Galaxy and LAFC's, you know, it's got its own name now. It's El Tráfico. And that rivalry has really gotten big to the point where I feel like it overshadows any other rivalry. Until Messi got here, I felt like in MLS, like that was always the talked about rivalry. Now it's kind of like the main focus when they're talking about LA Galaxy now. We can't help but to be compared to our noisy neighbors. You know, with that said, I think that LA Galaxy have to earn their right back. They have to earn their status once again. You know, there's a lot of digs at how we are just hung up on our history. And, you know, it's really great to have silverware and to have awards named after our players, but sure, we have to hold up to that. And I think that that's been the biggest challenge. And I think that last year it became very polarizing in the fan base of, you know, you have us loyals who have been there. We've actually got friends who were new recruits and it was, you know, one of the worst seasons, and yet they stood by the team and us, you know, as fans. But when we got our president Klein out, or up until we did get him out, actually, it was very polarizing. You know, you have fans that were super diehard LA Galaxy. I mean, look, LAFC figured something out. They stole a lot of our fans. Whether it's the location of their stadium, whether, you know, it's the black and gold, whether they just felt like LA Galaxy was just never representative of their neighborhood, or, you know, whatever the case, they did. They figured something out and they stole our fans. And so, you know, it's trying to not just fill the stadium up once again, right? Because that's what I love about being an LA Galaxy fan. Like, my first time ever stepping into a soccer game was an LA Galaxy game. It was back in 2005. I'd known about the Galaxy since 96, but, you know, it's funny, like, being a girl, they think, oh, well, you must have played soccer, or, you know, you must love women's soccer, you must follow soccer or something. And there's like a lot of assumptions that go along with that. And actually, it wasn't until 2005, the 4th of July, that I was invited to a game for the fireworks, that I really fell in love with the experience, the fans, the noise. Before the game had even kicked off, I was like, what is this? Who are all these people?
And looking at that 2005 Galaxy roster, that roster is crazy. It's got Kobe Jones on it, Paulo Nagamura, who became a coach, right? Chris Albright, who's coaching, Landon Donovan, who's coaching, and also is Landon Donovan, right? Hurt Gomez was on that team. Like, I'm going down this list. This is crazy. What a cool first match.
Thank you. And that's the thing, right? The Galaxy have set up this legacy that I feel like a lot of our current players have to hold up to. Like, we as fans, that's the pressure that we put on this team. You know, it's one thing to be losing and to have a bad run, right? But our fans are like, this is not what we're used to. And, like, to be honest with you, like, I hate the Yankees, right? Because not just because I'm a Dodgers fan, but because, you know, they're like, oh yeah, they sit on their trophies just like the Patriots or whoever, right? But it's different when it comes to LA Galaxy. I don't want to be an obnoxious fan with all of my awards, you know, of my team. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of pride. It's very different. Like, I feel very different about being able to say, like, look at all the silverware that we have, right? Like, you know, LAFC has that argument of, well, you guys have been there for 20 years longer before we showed up, and it's like, well, we'll see where we're at in 20 years. I'm like, yeah, but then we'll still have 20 years on you, right? but I get what they're saying. It's like, they make this weird argument of, well, it was a lot easier to get trophies and do things back then than it is now. And I'm like, yeah, but when you look at the crowded schedule and you're just playing the same teams over and over, it's like, well, can you really say that you are overall the best when you only face the East team once, maybe, in the final, if you get that far? So yeah, it's very, very different how the dynamics have changed with a national view of where the Galaxy stand. But I feel like now that we're sitting in first place, and because Beckham helped get Messi here, that there's a lot more talk about the LA Galaxy still.
Yeah, I feel like they are coming back around to relevance as someone who's followed the league a long, long time. And I think of late, you're right that, like, the only time you heard about the Galaxy was either in comparison to LAFC or for negative reasons, right, around the Chris Klein firing and things like that. What about their current form have y'all kind of been feeling? Is the same national take on, you've got this amazing offense, but then the defense is kind of, you know, the Achilles heel of your team? Is that an accurate local perspective as well, or is there more to it than that?
It's a little bit of both. I will say that there is a little bit more to it, only because this team isn't who they were. I mean, there's a lot of players from last season actually that have changed, but, you know, of course, that's been the biggest thing for us as fans. It's like, well, what is the problem with the defense? What's with the transition defense? Why is it that, you know, we're having the same problems, even though we've got these, like, really great guys on paper? And it's been that for a few years, but these particular guys that we have, and I know that leads into your next question, so I don't want to jump too far ahead.
No, go for it.
Go for it. Okay.
Yeah.
So the guys that we have right now, Ricky Puig, who's our best midfielder, Pansil, who's a winger, but he will switch sides. You'll see him playing through the middle. It's pretty wild. And then Gabriel Peck, who's come in, and Pansil's something else. He came in like, I think he's just a fabulous player. I think that these guys have a lot of chemistry. I think that their IQ for the game is just higher than anybody else, because for Pansil to just literally come over here fresh with the visa and to just play like he's been playing with these guys, I think that's Pansil. I think that's his talent. I think that's him as an individual, because Peck is taking a little bit longer to acclimate. He's taking a little bit, and I don't want to sound too critical, right? Because it's MLS. It's very different. He got married and then he like took a little break from the team, and then, for him to adjust and come back, in no way am I like dissing my own player in this case. But I do feel like he is taking a lot longer, right? But is that a fair comparison when other guys are just dynamic, just different guys, but with that said, they've just been able to play well together. But again, you're right, that defense. So the defense is really interesting to get into, because McCarthy is a very good goalkeeper. And then there's goalkeepers that we've had, Jonathan Bond, who was last season, and then before him was Bingham. And, a lot of people got on Bingham's case of like, why are you so bad? But then you're looking at the way Bond was also getting hit by the same shots, and he wasn't able to keep them out of the net. And then McCarthy is an ex-LAFC player, and he is making those saves for us. And I just feel like, okay, that's just because McCarthy's a good goalkeeper, right? Because we used to get on the other goalkeepers' cases for the same things that were happening. So what has been the same if the guys haven't been the same? And that's our coach, Greg Vanney. So there are days where I am very much Vanney out, right? But overall, I'm going to say I'm not, just because the LA Galaxy have changed coaches in the past, and it's so far hasn't been the coach that's been a problem. However, on the other side, now that Klein is out, now that you don't have him to blame anymore, now you've got a new guy, Will Kuntz, making the scouting. He's the one bringing these players in. And he's also from LAFC. And so,
he's incredible. Like over here, we had our own little bit of a sporting director controversy last year, and I was hopeful that we would bring in Will Kuntz. I think the one thing that this series has taught us is like, the grass ain't always greener. We are seeing a lot of the same kind of perspectives across the league, right? Like the idea that anyone in LA could want Greg Vanney out right now is really surprising to me. I don't think that's something that the national media is really clued into. Is it like a large portion of the fan base, or
when the Galaxy are not doing well, they blame Vanney, right? Like the guys on the team, they take ownership. Vanney has always taken ownership of the issues. He's always spoken the truth. But I think a lot of people in the past looked at that as excuses that Vanney was making. I don't have that same viewpoint. What I do see is, well, we're having the same problems. Right, the Galaxy keep giving up goals on set pieces. When the guys are playing, why does it look like they don't have any ideas sometimes? And so, and when creation's not coming out of the midfield, right? That to me, that has to be coaching. We're not in the locker room. I don't know, but from the problems that I see, it's one thing to be, oh, the season just started. We're only 5 games in. We don't really know who the players are yet. But now that, we've got a good idea of what's going on, now we can see, well, when you have such smart players, when you have such talented players, and they're just making mistakes, like that game against San Jose, to me, that's just like a, that that was not a win that I felt good about. And so, you know, again, another rival that you just expected to pound into the ground, because we went over to San Jose and beat them. And then at home, that's the thing about the Galaxy Stadium. It's always been a fortress. And that's the expectation from the fans, is that our home is protected. And then it was breached against LAFC. And now it was pretty shaky against San Jose. It's one thing for me to say, oh, this is MLS, or, oh, there were bad referee calls. Us fans are looking at this like, that is not the way that we should be playing at home.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that game specifically a little bit, because we want to talk about, you know, your current form. Y'all are doing great on paper. Win, win, loss, win, win. Like, that's a lot of W's. But I know a lot of times for us, we'll come out of a loss that we'll come out of a draw that feels like a win. We'll come out of a draw that feels like a loss. And like, our perspective on the game is so different from the letter on our form. So how I hear you on San Jose, that game was wild. We were, I don't know if I've ever been more like excited by or overwhelmed by a game. We were feeling a lot of things, so I imagine it must have been really wild on your end.
As a neutral, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I am so glad that that wasn't ours.
Yeah. But yeah, so how do y'all feel? Is this the first game in a while that's felt like a loss, even though it's a win? Or is that something that's more consistent this season?
So that's actually a really good question.
Sorry.
That's great. I mean, commentators and from what I hear, I mean, look, Twitter's, can we still call it Twitter? X, whatever. It's still a very toxic place, but it is where I know a lot of my community from. And then you see a lot of the interaction, and it's easy to focus on all the negatives, right? But they have fair takes. And the big question that I always see is, well, are the Galaxy back? That's like the biggest question. I think Sasha Kljestan addressed it, you know, on 360. And so the Galaxy are not back yet. They're just not. And so for us to feel that way when you're right on paper and on the table, everything's looking really good. But that's where the frustration comes in for fans. It's like, well, Vancouver once was sitting in first place and they are not a good team. So where you're sitting on the table right now in this time in the season is not a reason to feel comfortable. It's not necessarily a reflection in MLS, you know, of how your team is doing. So the biggest question is, well, what is it going to take for Galaxy to be back? And, you know, the high standard is now playoffs, but for the rest of us, it's not even, obviously would love to hold MLS Cup, right? But let's be real, they have to be contenders again, because when was the last time that the Galaxy were that threatening, where you were so sure that they were going to make it to the final, right? And even the teams that have won MLS Cup in recent, you know, not taking a dig at anyone in particular, but, you know, you have to say that these teams have to be ran through, right? Like, they have to be really, but to be honest, like right now it's anybody's game. And that's what's just so interesting. Is it that, you know, is it just very MLS right now? I know right now everybody's like all about Miami, but, and that's the expectation, you know, but I just think that the Galaxy have to prove themselves to be real contenders. And right now there's a lot that still has to happen for us to get there.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, Austin right now sitting in the eighth place on 12 points, that's a 6-point difference between us in first place. You know, and it's only a little bit more than that to 14th place with San Jose. And so it's, you know, it's a pretty tight Western Conference for sure this year.
Yeah. And I mean, looking forward, what are the keys for y'all this weekend against Austin, and looking forward as we get a little bit more into the heat of the summer?
Yeah. I mean, the keys would be not giving up set pieces. that to me is really frustrating, especially when these guys are no better. on the pitch, and that's what's so frustrating, especially that, like, I keep going back to that San Jose game, because it's just, that was just very, to me, glaring of like what is wrong with the Galaxy and why we're not back yet. And so, you know, just looking at that match, just the, you want to give the guys some grace, you want to give them like the benefit of the doubt, but there are like two goals, the first two, that just should not have been given. Don't be giving up red cards. Don't be giving up PKs. Like, those things should not be happening. And, you know, in the Western Conference, it's very physical. Their yellow cards are going to come out. And your team and our team has to be able to have the depth to be able to deal with that, because they do have to look at the next opponent. They can't be worried about this particular match and get baited the way that they did against San Jose, because that's the rival, right? I mean, the guys get really heated when it comes to rivalry games, and I'm just watching them going, man, we still got other games we need you for. Like, this isn't a playoff match. Like, you know? So, you know, one of the keys is the set pieces. The other being, yes, defense. Thankfully, we have better leadership on the team right now with Maya Yoshida, even though he plays in the back line. He's an incredible player. He's internationally experienced, but he also has experience. He's over 35, and I hate to bring up age when it comes to a lot of the players, but, you know, they always called MLS the retirement league, and then like LA Galaxy's always had these players that are on the other side of 30, and so, you know, you want them to be able to keep up with these young guys, but you also want them to be able to stay healthy enough to be able to keep going. And I know last season the Galaxy were, I mean, it's out of your control. They were really hit by the injury bug, and it's just scary. Anytime you see Brugman, who's another midfielder that we really, really need, anytime you see any of these guys getting injured or getting a yellow card, a red card, when you need that depth, it gets really hard to say like, oh, we're going to be able to make this long run and keep this streak going.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the age of the team. Austin, currently the oldest team in the league, if that makes you feel any better, with an average age of 29.4. LA, downright spring chickens over there right now. I think your average age is like 28, almost 27. So, you know. Father Time catches us all, just seems to be catching Austin a little bit faster right now.
I mean, speaking of faster, like, that's that's something that I'm really excited to see live on Saturday, even though it's going to be against us. The speed that y'all have on your front line, I feel like that is one of the, I mean, we might as well just put all of our center backs out and just let them head set pieces in, and just
that's our
strategy,
hope.
Right? Like, yeah. Put all three of them that we have. But y'all are so fast, and so that's got to be something else to like look forward to in these games, especially against older, maybe slower teams.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. These guys are playing with much more speed and passion. I mean, when they go down a goal, this team has said it. Oh, we're just going to come back. Oh, we just got to score more goals. We'll just come back and score. And that's just wild to have that. I'm glad that they have that mentality, but I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. We don't need to be playing from behind. And a lot of these games, the Galaxy have been coming back. And what is different this season is that they are able to come back. They are making those goals. But, you know, what I'm apprehensive about is, yeah, but they take a really long time to score. They should be up 2, 3, 4 goals in the first half. And sometimes we're zero going in, you know, level going into the half. And you're just like, well, what just happened? Why aren't we getting in the back of the net? And so I think that's something that Austin would be able to do, is that if they're at home, right? Austin's at home. They score first.
Impossible.
One day.
Okay. Yeah. I know that there was a very late goal against Houston, you know, but there's a,
as I mean, you can see, it's a possibility.
They're contenders. Like, I've always looked at Austin as contenders, you know, I've always looked at Austin as a threat. So going into this match, like I said, just because they're sitting in eighth, and I understand all the issues. I mean, if your coach Wolf can outcoach Vanny, there's something there.
Yeah. I think the, like you were mentioning, the propensity for giving up set pieces is like the best news I think that we have heard in weeks preparing for this match, right? We have just been prepared to get torched down the wings all day. But if we can get some corners, and if we can get Julio Cascante's big old dome into the box, it sounds like we might have a shot here.
I want to talk a little bit more about players. Obviously, you know, we've talked about Puig, Painsil, and Peck, but who else? You mentioned Yoshida. Who else on the squad is really pulling their weight?
Mark Delgado. Yeah. He's a midfielder that, when he's not there, the Galaxy don't have creation. The defense is suffering. He is such a beast where he is. And the team heavily relies on him. And we, the fans, rely on him. You know, we're just expecting, come on, Delgado. We're rooting for him in the stands. We wanted him to be one of the man of the matches that had come out. You know, we wanted him to get that recognition. And it was a long time coming. But yeah, he's definitely a player that the Galaxy cannot, you know, do without. So hopefully your guys, you know, don't go for his legs. you know, because there's a lot of that. Like, Puig gets beat up in that midfield. Yeah. I mean, he'll get swarmed. It's unbelievable how many knocks he takes. And I'm like, just stay healthy, get back up. And yeah, so yes, of course, the three P's is what everybody's calling them now. But there's a lot of more depth with this team that we didn't have before. That, okay, when it's time for Peck and Pansio, like in the 75th minute, to go ahead and they need the rest or they need the rotation, then I feel confident when they're, okay, we got Barry who can come on. We got, you know, Fagundes as a super sub.
You're gonna mention him?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course. Yeah. Fagundes has been.
We'll bleep it out. We'll do a censor beep.
A trigger warning for our fans who were very sad when he left town. He had endeared himself to the Austin community in a like a big way, and so having him leave was pretty hard.
Well, we're taking good care of him. We absolutely adore him. And it's like, oh, okay, Fagundes is coming on now. That's okay. So, yeah, or maybe we'll get some creation now. Like, oh, fresh. It's not just fresh legs. It's Fagundes' fresh legs. And so sure. You're really happy to see him come on. And, man, what a tiger. He definitely is key. We expect him to score. That's for sure. But, you know, the other guys that are, I mentioned Brugman, but Brugman, unfortunately, doesn't seem like he's been able to stay as healthy. Same thing with Caceres. Martin Caceres is a defender that when he's not there, you really feel it, right? And then they subbed him in with Zavaleta, who just got a red card, so now he's not available. We expect Jalen Neal to come back. He's been a very bright spark for the LA Galaxy in that back line to score, to defend. We know his mother personally. And so we know like the journey that the Neal family has really been to be able to get Neal into the first team. And so we're really hoping that he stays healthy. And right now he's been playing with our second team, who got renamed to Ventura County. And so Neal's not totally healthy to come back, but he is a major player that we can't wait to get back. And I hope that he was healthy enough to travel and go to Austin, but we're not really sure yet. But yeah, Caceres and Brugman are on the other side of 30 too. So
yeah. I know that Austin's second team, Austin FC 2, is playing Ventura County this weekend as well in Austin. And so for folks who are going out to that match on Friday, if you see Jalen Neal, you will know that he will not be playing on Saturday.
Yeah. That'll really let us know, won't it?
Yeah. And so do you know, Michelle, if the visiting fans coming into Austin are going to be going to that second team match, or?
They usually do. We've got some really, I mean, if they're traveling, they're traveling to experience everything in Austin. They're not just going for the big match. Yeah, so we've got some pretty diehard fans that travel. So yeah, so shout out to everyone who's traveling and safe travels. And I'm sure your fans will treat us a lot better than we have to worry about going to some other stadiums.
Yeah. We've always had some really fun times with Galaxy fans, for sure.
Yeah, and cool, just cool. I think visiting fans in general in Austin tend to find a pretty, you know, respectful environment as long as, you know, everybody stays cool.
Yeah, so they won't throw things at Fagundes on the pitch or?
Oh, God, no. I'm half expecting.
We sit in the visiting corner, the visiting entrance tunnel corner, and we're going to be mobbed. Everyone's going to be clamoring for him.
I'm expecting a lot of autograph requests from Diego, from our fans.
Yeah.
When he comes back. I know for a fact that there are a few Austin fans who are hoping for him to score against us and planning to celebrate that. So,
oh, nice.
That's a choice, you know.
I won't go quite that far.
No, never. Literally never. Once you're...
This has been great, Michelle, but we really love the Minnesota mentality of drink 90 drink. So like your friends before the game, you're drinking together. For 90 minutes, you are sworn enemies. I love that you use the term enemies too, like enemies forever. And then afterwards, we're going to drink again and we're going to be friends. But that enemy period is very important.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. You know, I'm just looking at the roster to just be like, well, who else did I not talk about? But actually, this is an in-depth roster that LA Galaxy have right now. So sorry to tell you that. We didn't get news on why Yamane was out. Mickey Yamane, I felt when he wasn't there. And, you know, arguably against that game in LAFC, we know now that the LAFC player baited him and dove and simulated. But Yamane still, like, he's very smart in the way that he plays, and he just wasn't there in that San Jose game, and so we don't know what's wrong. Hopefully he is going to be in Austin, because it's not like we need the extra help based on what it sounds like Austin's situation is. But again, I do want to see my team have a signature game. I want to see them go in and get credit for really putting on a good show that is a well 90 minutes. Cause I just feel like the Galaxy don't play a full good 90 minutes. You know, there's going to be, I mean, I don't do predictions on my show, but you know, just knowing my players is that they could get into trouble if they don't score soon enough. You know, Dejan Jovlic is another guy that sits in the forefront, and we expect him to really get goals in. I mean, he's leading in the goals right now for the Golden Boot. He's up there with all the other guys that are contenders, but you know, there's no other thing that you can ask from Jovlic in his position right now. Like, that's what you want him to be. Like, you want him to be up there. You want him to make those tap-ins. You want the other guys to be able to service him. And so, yeah, Jovlic used to call himself the future of this team. And so I think he has a lot to prove, especially when he's got such a good other players backing him up. And so Julian Ade is another guy that he's young, you know, and we really get on his case too when he's not defending well, or he's giving up balls, or he's, I don't know, just not making the clearances that you want him to clear. But at the same time, he's young, right? Like, it's not that he's not smart enough to work with the other guys. He's still developing his skills. He's still learning. And when you have so many veteran players, I mean, who better to learn from, right? So maybe there are more things that we can learn playing Austin. So,
yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like the temperature from you, Michelle, is a little like lukewarm right now, right? Like, you're not fully satisfied, which I think that shows like a hunger and an expectation that simply we don't have yet in Austin, because our team, you know, we're 4 years into this, right? We don't have trophies yet. We don't have history to lean on. And there's a steady there's a desire for progression within the club, right? But if we were in first place, I don't think that we would be as mid on our team right now.
Yeah.
As it sounds like coming from you. And you've been a fan of the league a long time. You've followed a team that's deserved, you know, its accolades. And so do you think that that's true kind of across the fan base, that that is the current vibe around the club?
I mean, for the most part, the people who really have been paying attention should not be surprised by the things that have been happening in the last few matches, right? So you're right, but I'm also not a normal fan, right? I have a podcast of my own. You know, I have a fan magazine that we publish, and it's just because, you know, I can critique this team and assess this team as a teacher, right? Looking at them and saying like, well, I see what the issues are. Obviously, credit where credit is due. I can't praise this team enough that they've brought the light back in to being a fan. It's fun to watch this team again, right? Which is also probably why the standards are higher from those of us that I'm close to. There are some fans, even one of the guys of Eleazar House, Lewis, who they are super optimistic right now. My co-host Christian Conway, he's always maintaining the optimism, right? When I was asked about the San Jose match, I didn't feel as confident as everybody else in the team, but I probably saw something in this team that, you know, other people might overlook. And the big part of it is just that we have such amazing, talented players just not performing, just giving up set pieces, which is like, you feel soccer 101. That's the kind of expectations and displays that put me to how I feel about the team now. And so, you know, I know that Austin deserves to be a successful expansion team. Like, that's what you want to see in MLS. I think that's what makes MLS stand out from everybody else, is that we want to see these expansion teams be successful, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're still a young enough league where like growing the team is really important and growing the league is really important. Mm-hmm. And so the more high quality teams are in the league, the better it is for everybody. I agree.
Absolutely. You know, but yeah, I do want my team to go over there and win on the road. It always feels good. I mean, a lot of other people are satisfied with a draw on the road, and like getting a draw on the road is enough to show that your team is good. I think LA Galaxy sitting in first place tells me that they are good. The names that are on the roster, just the badge of LA Galaxy tells me that they are good, but I want them to go over there and I want them to win. Now, winning against an eighth place team, is that going to, you know, it's not going to disappoint fans, right? But like for your fans, but on our side, it's not going to disappoint the LA Galaxy fans. But at the same time, we really want to be able to stand up against real challenges. And I think that's why that San Jose win felt like a bad taste in our mouth after, because they're the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And so when you play like that against the worst team in the league, I don't care if it's MLS. I don't care, you know, because when I say MLS, for people who don't know, the Western Conference is always wild. We call it the Wild Wild West for a reason. I mean, everybody you're going to see is going to be fluctuating up and down that table. As I said, everybody keeps facing each other. But, you know, there's something to it where it's like in MLS, the worst team can beat the best team in the league. And it doesn't mean that your team sucks. It just means that, hey, that was just like how it was in the day. And so, you know, refereeing aside, the Galaxy have to be better than that. They have to be better than whatever calls that are going to be made. To be able to say that we're back, we're going to have to beat more challenging teams as we go down into the summer, as you're saying. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the summer? I mean, I really don't want Pouge to leave. You know, the Galaxy do need that depth, especially in the back line. There's things to fix. And there's still a player that, yeah, still has to come and join us. So
I was going to say, the report is that he just signed a new deal. And so I would imagine that if he does leave, it will be for a lot more money.
And Europe, as most do, right?
I think the only place he could go is Europe, but with a new deal, certainly it seems as though the desire from him is to stay, at least for as long as that new deal is. Or LA knows that they're going to get a boatload of cash for him. And so.
But right now the Galaxy can't do without Pooch. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. That man is incredible to watch. And I don't know about you, Steph, but I'm really excited to see him in person.
I'm excited to see his hair in person. It's so big. It's where he keeps his talent.
Hair. And he, is the secret to his talent that he tucks his jersey into his shorts and pulls them up? I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
But there's another defender, Garces, that the Galaxy acquired that we haven't even seen yet. So definitely, sure, there's still more to see from LA Galaxy.
Well, we're really excited to see y'all in town this weekend. It's going to be a match.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, that it will happen.
Yeah, I guarantee it will be 90 plus minutes of soccer. And at one point or another, someone's going to do something where we're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
What that means for who knows?
Who knows? Michelle, thank you so much for being on. Can you let everyone know where to find and follow and support you?
Thank you. Yes, you can follow me on X. That's where we're most active. And you can follow me at MC Houtink. It's Huitink. And yes, it's a Dutch last name. And you can find Simply Soccer on Apple Podcasts. And you'll be able to find it under my name, because I know there might be some other Simply Soccers out there. But to follow us on Instagram, it's Simply Soccer __pod. So thank you so much for having me on. I'm really extra excited about the match now. And whatever happens, I can't wait to have you on our podcast and go over that. That's for sure.
Yeah,
we'll be excited.
Absolutely. Check the show notes for links to all those socials that Michelle noted. Thank you again so much. Massive thank you again to Michelle for coming on and talking to us about the LA Galaxy. But Steph, I feel like you might have something to apologize for.
All right. So the first thing I have to apologize for is that we don't have any Match Scott interviews and we don't have any fit checks.
I know.
I said that we would in the intro and I'm just a liar.
It's sad because, these are some of the things that I think I look forward to most.
Honestly, having two away games in our Swoon Tower segment or our time.
Yeah, our bi-weekly section here.
Yeah, it's a bummer. So we're going to read some ads and then we'll get into a pretty truncated version of our show.
Swoon Tower Soccer is brought to you by our friends at FVF Law, the official injury lawyers of Austin FC.
FVF is a different kind of personal injury law firm dedicated to community, transparency, and client education. And they have their own podcast called Summary Judgment. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
You can go to fvf.law to find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm and why understanding your legal options can dramatically change the outcome of a case.
That's fvf.law.
Wow.
Got it.
Once again. Our premier sponsor is McGuire Woods Consulting, helping clients in the public affairs space from lobbying at the local, statewide, and federal levels to digital and communications campaigns across the country.
McGuire Woods Consulting has offices in 10 MLS cities, but only advertises on this podcast because it's the home of the two-time reigning Copa Tejas champions, which is looking like, I don't want to say too much, but
look, we got 6 points, they got 0 points.
Yeah. But it's the most important trophy in professional sports. So please contact our friends at McGuire Woods Consulting at www.mwcllc.com for more information. Once again, that's mwcllc.com. I like repeating URLs.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Ever since Landon started doing it on the main show, I've really...
I just like doing whatever Landon's doing.
Same. That's why I'm only wearing Pearl Snap shirts from here on out.
Nice.
Forever.
All right. So we did have two matches. We're just going to skip over St. Louis. It was on a Sunday. It doesn't count.
I honestly wasn't super in love with that match.
Yeah, same. So we're going to talk about Houston, which is a match I was super in love with. So Mike and I traveled down to Houston to watch. We did not go on the buses. So if you've got any stories from the buses, let us know and we'll talk about those. But our car ride was pretty it was not uneventful. You know what I got? Finally, I got to try we've been getting commercials for these Little Caesars Crazy Puffs. They're like little muffins with pizza in them. Oh, I've wanted them so bad for so long. And on Friday night, we went to two different Little Caesars to try and get them, and we couldn't. And so finally, I got them Saturday on the way to the match, and I was so happy. They're delicious. 10 out of 10 endorsement. Sponsor us, Little Caesars.
Yeah, Little Caesars, if you're listening, feel free to shoot us an email at the Moon Tower Soccer, contact form on the website, moontowersoccer.com. Also, if you're not Little Caesars, you can also go to moontowersoccer.com, and there is a new website. And on that new website in the bottom right corner, there is an option to leave a voicemail. And this is breaking news. So I would love for y'all to click into that, leave a voicemail for Swoon Tower, and maybe we can start playing some on the show.
That would be so fun. Yeah, that would be really
fun. A little call-in line.
Yeah. All right, so Houston was a great match. We were up in the supporter section. It was just really fun. The vibes were immaculate. I did find it a little hard to watch the game.
Yeah, because I was vibing too hard.
Yeah. Also, because we were really far away.
Yeah, it felt
but
a little...
But mostly the vibes.
It felt a little like old school Nintendo soccer. Everyone was very small. The ball was even smaller. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of had to guess at what was going on.
Yeah. I do want to shout out the food that we got in the stadium, though.
Yeah, the Vietnamese stand there, Roostar.
Very good. Yeah, they did like chips and dip, but the chips were wontons, like deep fried wontons. And because I can't have corn chips, it was so great to have like a chips and dip experience in a stadium. I loved it.
Also, their banh mi slapped. I've been thinking about it for days now.
He's been talking about it for days now.
So, yeah, next time we go play Houston away, definitely make sure to hit up that Vietnamese stand in the stadium. Really
good.
Absolutely.
I only have really one note about the actual match moods on the field. And that's partly because I was vibing too hard and partly because I couldn't see. One of my favorite kind of stories of the match or storylines through the match was watching Alex Ring and Hader O'Brien. There was some tension. I don't know what was going on. There was a lot of gesturing, a lot of yelling, and pretty immediately after that, Hader got subbed off. Seeing that tension, seeing those arguments, it's always you're curious of what's going on, but you hope that they figure it out, right? And luckily in this, we got to really see them figure it out, because after the match, you saw a video of Alex Ring with his arm around Hader. They were just talking and talking and talking and talking as they came over to the supporters section to celebrate. And then we got to see them in the photo with their arms around each other. And so seeing the mid-game
frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And seeing that resolved in a really nice, clearly comfortable way. It was just a good thing to see and a cool storyline to follow.
Yeah. I thought the intensity of this game was ratcheted up a notch even from most of the time when we play Houston. Everybody seemed like they were really on it. And I love that.
Yeah.
Y'all know that I love a spicy match, and this was definitely one. And on the winning side of that, that feels really good.
Yes.
And the other match mood that I wanted to call out was CJ Fodre getting his first real minutes with the first team.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that he got the assist on the goal through winning a header off a goal kick, which was exactly what Alex Ring was yelling at Hader O'Brien about before Hader got subbed out. So it was kind of that's what that was about. Mm-hmm. And that's what we wanted to have happen. And then it happened.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the match was over, watching CJ run to the supporters, mm-hmm. the away fans, yeah. to like celebrate with them was just such a touching moment. You know, that kid clearly is bought in yep. to Austin FC and like playing for our fans.
Yeah, it was really nice. I guess talking about CJ, let's go right into our Selly ratings.
Yeah.
So this was interesting. We've been waiting a long time for an Emmy Ragone goal.
Yeah, I mean, you come out with platinum blonde hair like that, mm-hmm. I'm expecting a goal in the first minute, you know?
Now, I want to recall back to, I think, Emmy's last goal, maybe, when he put his hands up to the supporter section at yeah. home and he did the little
putting
thing and everyone
out.
Was really mad about it. And I don't know if it got in his head or if the past like year of being mediocre has gotten in his head, but he really didn't celebrate. He kind of ran over to the corner. It was on the opposite end of where we were, but he just kind of looked like he was going to cry and everyone else did the celebrating for him.
I was going to say the celebration to me was everyone else mm-hmm. on the team being so happy for his goal.
Yeah.
You could tell that he's a dude that everyone on the team is rooting for.
Mm-hmm. That was really beautiful.
Yeah.
And that like understated celebration. I mean, that's a game winning point. And obviously you don't know in the moment, but it was what, the 83rd minute?
Yeah, it was pretty late in the game.
Just, I don't know, seeing him just like taking it in. And then, like, everyone else giving him the hype that he deserved. I loved it. I thought it was beautiful. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow. I kind of wished he had celebrated harder for it. I know all of the points that you had are fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give this a 7-3.
All right.
I think Seba brings this up from a 5 mm-hmm. to a 7 on his own.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the team gets him that 0.3 additional.
Yeah.
Degree of difficulty on the celebration, though, is pretty high, you know.
I would say the degree of difficulty is a 0.
Containing yourself after scoring a goal against Houston, I feel like is showing that restraint is very mature.
Yeah. I just want to mention that all 8 of my points are from his tears. All right, social media standouts from the past couple weeks. We don't have a ton, but I do want to shout out Maxi, who was in town, went to a little lunch with the boys, was hanging around the team.
Yeah, they went
nice
out to Bolden Acres, it looked like. So I've never been there. I don't know what they've got, but seemed like they were happy to be there.
Yeah. It was cool. It was good to see that they're all still friends. And that was one of the things that I was worried about. We had this really solid, especially like with the Mate Combos era.
True. Yeah.
They had such a solid friendship. And it made me sad to think that that would go away when our players got traded and left. Mm. And to see them still kind of like, you know, engaging with Felipe or Maxi. It's just, it's nice and wholesome.
Yeah. I do feel like there was an opportunity to do a little Mate con vos, and you know,
they don't think about us as much as we think about them.
That's probably true.
It's a little sad,
but someone's thinking about us, and you know, we know that because the picture has returned.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. We should probably do a breakdown of this picture. You know, I think it's probably time that we talk about the return of the picture. In the depth that it deserves. You know, I know you called out at the very beginning, Alex Ring having his arm around Hader, and I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time maybe for John Gallagher to evolve in the picture?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No, and the fact that you're thinking that means we need at least 3 more and then it'll be funny again.
Got it.
Yeah, he's like really playing the long game. Yeah. My favorite part about the picture is just Danny and Gally's relationship on the internet. Danny Pereira commented, OMG, Danny has more abs than John Gallagher. It's just, they're the best. I love that Seba and Gally still have that like friendship on lock. I love that Hector's rocking no shirt out there.
Yeah. Do you think it was a dare? Like him and Jossie were like, I'll go shirtless if you go shirtless, bro.
I mean, maybe.
I'll do
but
it if
Jossie
you do
is so ripped. So yeah. I feel like Jossie would just, I don't know. Like, you want to talk about a dad bod. Like
a dad with a bod. That's different from
bod.
That's different from a dad bod.
Yeah. I also think I want to call out in the middle here our three kind of newbies. We've got
still wearing their jerseys.
Still wearing their jersey. We've got Buru, Heinz Ike, and Matt Hedges. Just
is this really what we do here?
Yeah, just looking at each other, kind of like, I mean, Hedges and Heinz Ike kind of just look like they're doing the pre-match photo.
Yeah.
You know, and Biru was, but now he's like, wait, are we supposed to be doing something different? This isn't just like our little cheerleader squad photo.
I love CJ getting to show off how ripped he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he stood on that side because he's like, yo, my right arm looks so much more swole than my left arm. Let me be on that side.
No, he's on this side because he wanted to offset Galley. And he's way more ripped than Galley. So
sure, yeah, he didn't want to show him up.
Yeah, the boat's like, there are so many more people on the right side, but CJ counts for like six muscles. He's like, maybe the new Nick Lima?
Yeah, honestly, he's looking
all
like
the muscles?
Special shout out to Ethan. Hold that together over there on the end.
He's doing a great job.
That feels like me, though, after 90 minutes of standing and singing and waving the flag.
I also really love Diego Rubio and Johan Valencia.
Just honestly, it's like a
arms around
glamour,
each other in the
yeah,
middle.
It's like a glamour shot situation with them.
Yeah.
They've got a real like, oh, we're going to Sears.
Yep.
Let's get our picture taken.
Yeah. It's perfect. Everything about it is perfect.
Family portrait season is back, baby.
Media team put out the story of the match on Instagram. Really lovely. Just a nice celebration of the game, but also Emmy specifically.
Yeah. Beautiful moments, really, like, God, they're still all bangers mm-hmm. every single time. And then the last thing that we have is breaking news from today. At training, we got photos from special correspondent De Verde All Day, Moises, who let us know that Danny Pereira has bleached his hair again.
Oh, dip.
Oh, yeah. We're going Cisco era Danny again.
I love it.
So excited. Cannot wait to see that on Saturday. Everybody in the stands, be on the lookout for Danny's bleached hair.
Heck yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got for today. We just have to touch on the man of my jersey.
Yeah.
That was phrasing. you know what? The man of my jersey this week is going to be CJ Fodre.
Nice.
I'm really excited for him to have such a great assist in his first MLS minutes, like really meaningful contribution in a way that I hope it fuels him forward. And I hope that celebration carries through him for a long time.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the CJ Fodre picture that is just like the Jimmy Farcalone picture.
Mm.
Where he's got all his jerseys on the wall
mm-hmm.
and he's celebrating himself like that
mm-hmm.
with all his family.
Get on it, CJ.
Let's go.
All right, y'all. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share. Yeah. Let people know how much you love our boys.
Also, there are new Patreon rewards up on the Moon Tower Soccer Patreon at patreon.com/moontowersoccer. The yellow cards at the $5 tier and the socks at the $10 tier that Landon literally will not stop talking about. definitely make sure to check those out if you are a sock person or if you're a person who needs to wear socks. $10 is a pretty good price to pay.
We love you.
Bye.